listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, broadcasting live from the Cultural District here in Fairfield. We are your open source, community, grassroots, involved, solar-powered radio station.
Right, and solar it is today.
And this is Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline. I'm your host, Monica Hadley, and with me is my co-host and mommy, Caroline Kilborn.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. We have a most interesting guest talking about something that's most interesting, and I think it's going to be you're going to be very informed and going to want to get this book.
When it comes out.
When it comes out,
which
right.
It will soon. Our guest today is someone I've known for 20 years, at least 20 years. She wasn't in Fairfield the whole time. She left. She came back. We have that rubber band effect here with Fairfield.
Why is that?
Because it's such a great town.
Yeah, it is.
So, welcome to Writer's Voices, Phyllis Kerr.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. It's so exciting. I listen to this radio show all the time in my bathroom, taking a shower or whatever, so it's nice to be on this side of the microphone.
Ah, well, you've been on this side of the microphone throughout your career.
That's right.
Phyllis was back in the day, was a cheerleader of sorts and multiple state and national award-winning performer, musician, and educator. She did a wonderful CD for children that I got for my grandson when he was born.
That was a compilation of two cassettes. You remember those,
oh,
right?
That's right.
Yeah, back
that's
in the 80s, they were called cassettes.
Yeah. Now she is a co-author of Facebook Marketing All-in-One for Dummies and author of Social Media Marketing E-Learning Kit for Dummies, both published by Wiley in 2011. She also writes and is the social media director for iPhone Life magazine, iPhoneLife.com, and a consultant to authors, musicians, teachers, presenters, and business owners all over the country in her field of expertise, which is social media.
That's right.
And you can find out more about her at... go to Amazon.com.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Start there, Phyllis Kerr, K-H-A-R-E, and then there's a link to her
right, that's
website.
A great thing about Amazon is they have these author pages, and you can have your books listed on an author page. You can also put your blog on there, and any ebooks that you create and upload to Amazon, they'll list them all right there for you. They have a bio page. They'll put your tweets. They put your Facebook page links. It's an incredible site that Amazon does.
Now, that's a fairly recent development, isn't
it? Yeah, they've been opening and putting more aspects to it over the last few months.
Wow.
It's great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah. So, Phyllis, tell us a little bit about how Facebook Marketing All-in-One for Dummies came to be.
Well, that is a little bit of a story.
It is.
We're actually very lucky here in Fairfield. There are a lot of people who have written for Wiley's The Dummies series.
Really?
Yes, there's a lot of them. And they just quietly hide in their living room and type on the computer all day long. And one of them is Ellen Finkelstein, and she has actually penned lots of books for Wiley and some of their other series, not just for Dummies. And am I hot enough on the microphone?
You should get a little bit more to
no,
the
no,
mic.
No, we'll no, we'll just turn it up a little.
Okay.
There we go.
There we
all
go.
Right, now you can hear me.
Yeah.
I hope. So she was talking to one of her acquisitions editors at Wiley about a book on WordPress. And she said to the editor, you know, you should really talk to my friend Phyllis. She knows a lot about this. And so with that introduction, I was able to send in a table of contents and sample chapter to Wiley on a WordPress book. Now, the funny thing is, I had asked before this whole thing started why this other author wasn't writing this book, because in the WordPress Dummies series, this particular author had written the last three, and it seemed reasonable she would write the fourth one. And they told me, oh no, she's too busy. Don't worry about it. Send in the TOC. Well,
TOC
is Table of Contents.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're dummies here.
Maybe your next book should be...
Lingo.
No, it should be marketing a book a dummies book.
How to market.
Because what happened? Market a dummies book for dummies.
Yeah. Right, because what happened was very funny because I sent in the TOC that I worked on really nonstop for almost a couple of months. And I sent it in and she said, oh, gee, you know that other author? Well, now she's going to write this book. Mm-hmm. But thanks for all the hard work. and you have every right to be mad at us. And I understand that. So I thought about it for a little while, and I decided to take the high road, and I wrote back, and I said, that's okay, you know, that's fine. If you ever need anything else, I'm here, I'm happy to help, and sent that out. And in 30 seconds, she wrote back, and she said, hey, how would you like to do the TOC for Facebook Marketing All-in-One for Dummies? Now, to me, this was a much bigger opportunity. And I said, yes. Very quickly, yes, yes, yes. And she said, but. But. There was a very big but on this one. You're a new Wiley's author, and we need a rock star for this one. Can you bring a rock star? A rock star is somebody who has a large platform, and that means that they have a large email list. They have
a following,
a really big following. And so I thought, oh, need a rock star. Mm-hmm. Now, I had just spent the last 5 or 6 years really involved in social media, and so Facebook was right up my alley, and I knew the rock stars in Facebook, and I had had conversations with them, and I had tweeted them. I had done everything to connect with some of the bigger names. And so I immediately thought of Andrea Vall, who has an alter ego called Grandma Mary. And she does Facebook tutorials, video tutorials in her persona of Grandma Mary. And they're hysterical. And I thought, well, she's perfect. So I just sent her a message and I said, hey, you want to write a book? And she said, yes. And so I brought Andrea to the table.
And had she written before? Or
no, she would be a new Wiley's writer also. So, and now what happens is Wiley says, oh, this is great, but now you have a competing table of contents. And I thought, what?
Now, had you already done your TOC at that point?
We were working on it.
You were working on it.
Okay. In the works. And I thought to myself, oh, this is ridiculous. An all-in-one book is a 700-page book. Why don't we just ask the other author who's sending in a TOC to write with us as a team? Why don't we just all get along? Why have this competition between TOCs? It didn't make any sense. So I wrote back to the acquisitions editor and pitched that idea, and she said, oh, that's a great idea. And so she took it to this other person, and they said, oh, that's a great idea. And so, bing, we had it.
They
sent out the contracts. I was signing the contracts, and then we got an email. The other writer, the third author, which I'm not going to name names here, but the third author, I don't think I can do this, and dropped out of the project.
Altogether.
Now, I was signing the contract, so now all this precious contract in front of me was now null and void.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to find another person. So we had a little short list, and
now,
at the top...
Did you have to find... I mean, because originally there were just two.
No, they wanted a... By that point, they liked the idea of three authors so much that they wanted a third person.
Mainly because of the time that they wanted to get this
out
in and how long it would
take. Now we were behind...
Yeah.
A month, because we had to redo all the contracts, and the third person would have to send in a sample chapter to get approved as a writer. So there were hoops they had to still jump through. But on our short list, everybody at the top of their short list was Amy Porterfield. And so we contacted Amy, and she said yes. And so that's the three authors of this book.
And what was Amy's background? Why was she at the top of your shortlist?
Well, Amy's an amazing person. She's probably the most enthusiastic person besides myself about social media. And she had worked with Tony Robbins and some big A-list people in their social media. So she knew and had a huge platform. And Wiley likes the platform.
Oh, so you have two rock stars.
So now we had two rock stars and me.
And you. Now, does that mean that you had to do the most work? Okay, you don't have to answer that.
We looked at our TOC, and we estimated page numbers, and we divvied it up evenly. But I have to say, there are 9 mini books in this book. There was 1 mini book I had to write, and it was about 100 pages, and I had to write it twice because Facebook
changed
in January when we were in the middle of editing the book. And so I had to write one whole mini book twice, basically.
Because you had to keep up with technology.
Right. They changed everything. They didn't just change where they put things on the page. They changed everything about Facebook business pages, which is what this book is about. So we were actually really lucky they did it while
before
we were in the middle of editing.
Published. I mean, how does a book like this stay current?
Well, I think this book is going to stay current for a while because they're not going to do a major redesign of pages, business pages. They might change a little thing here and there, but they're not going to do the kind of change that they did back in January. Knock on some wood. Okay. And we say in this book several times, and I don't really know if Wiley completely edited this out, but I would say something like, somewhere on the page you'll see a button that says edit. Because Facebook can do things like move it from the right to the left or the top to the bottom and not really tell anybody. Mm. So you know there's going to be an edit button somewhere.
Why do they do that?
Facebook has, I remember hearing Mark Zuckerberg say once that they still consider themselves a startup company. And so they feel like they really haven't defined the look and the feel of the platform yet. And I think they also think the more they change it up, the more energy and buzz and excitement they create around the platform.
Probably,
and they keep people interested. They also get people irritated to no end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Microsoft does the same thing. They keep changing. You know, every time a new version of Windows comes out, you have to relearn the whole thing. And sometimes the way that it was done before seemed better to me. Now, maybe it may be more efficient and quicker. You know, the actual software architecture might be better under the new version. But from a user experience, sometimes it's not an improvement.
Well, that's why there are a lot of people who have developed a name for themselves, because they will see those changes and immediately dive in and figure them out and then share what they've learned with everybody. People like Mari Smith on Facebook, people go to her because they know that she's going to dive in and embrace the change and figure it out. And so it started, it actually developed a huge grassroots industry around Facebook, Facebook marketing, developing Facebook pages, developing landing pages for businesses. There's a huge industry around it now.
You know, when you first said that they wanted 3 authors, I thought, well, that seems like it's counterproductive because you'd have to be collaborating and everything. But then you, as you explained, you each had chapters, so you weren't writing the same stuff, you weren't writing the same things.
Right, except that in Facebook there's a lot of overlap.
Oh, sure.
So I might be writing a chapter on e-commerce on Facebook that talks about applications, but we also have a chapter on applications that talks about e-commerce. So there was a lot of overlap, and so the 3 of us really talked a lot about who was doing what where.
Mm-hmm.
I know the power of radio is a little limited, but I am showing you the difference between a regular dummies book and an all-in-one book.
Wow.
A regular dummies book is what, like 3/4 of an inch maybe?
Thick, yes.
And then an all-in-one dummies book is about
an inch and a half.
Inch and a half, 2 inches big.
Yeah.
This is the same size as our book. We actually have a few more pages in this one. And you can see it's more, it's like a reference guide. It's got everything in it. And so this is the all-in-one. When you see all-in-one in a dummies title, you know that you're getting this gigantic, thick reference book mm-hmm. that has everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a Facebook marketing for dummies.
Okay.
That is honestly outdated at this point because of those changes in January.
Mm.
But there's still a lot of good information in there. It's just you might look at the steps of what to do and then try and do it, and the steps are different now.
Now, why did the authors of this book not want to do the Facebook marketing all-in-one book?
I asked that question too. I actually asked a lot of questions in the beginning because I didn't want to have that same thing happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that this author was working on some other, or two authors for Facebook Marketing for Dummies. They were working on other projects and they definitely wouldn't be interested. And then I asked about, well, what about the social media marketing for dummies? And what about, you know, all those other dummies books around
that are similar. Right.
And they said, no. And I said, okay. So we did jump in with it. And thank goodness it worked, because now, August 9th, there will actually be a physical book out. And Wiley's very excited about this book. They've actually put it on what they call their A-list for marketing, which is wonderful. So
wow.
The pre-orders are more than what they expected, and the bookstore orders are more than what they expected. So we're all very excited about it.
Is there an immediate ebook, or will that come later?
Well, it'll be a Kindle book.
It
will definitely be a Kindle book. So that's very exciting. And there will also be PDF downloads of sample chapters to give away, you know, where bloggers can give away. You've seen those promotional things. There's a lot going on with it. It's very exciting.
And August 9th is your publication
August
date?
9th, you could go to a Barnes & Noble and pick one off the shelf.
Okay.
If you pre-order on Amazon right now, first of all, you save $13 on the book, which is an amazing, it's like 38% off right
yeah.
now for a pre-order. I don't know when they changed that, but those pre-orders ship July 25th. So if you pre-order, you'll get it somewhere at the end of July, 1st of August. It's very exciting.
Well, it would certainly pay to pre-order, I would think, if you're
oh, yes.
all interested.
Absolutely. And that's what I think people are figuring out when they go there and they see that they can save that much money. And they know they're gonna need it. There are so many businesses that are thinking about getting on Facebook that haven't made that leap yet. And this would be a great thing for a DIYer to just go step by step and figure it all out and get it done.
Do you think that's the best way for a business to go about getting on Facebook, is to learn how to do it yourself? And
I think you have to look at your business in the time that you have. If you're a small company and you have plenty of time on your hands, then great. And then you can just DIY it, do it yourself, and it's not a problem. It's not rocket science. Everything in the book, anyone can do. Facebook is not that complicated. It is involved, and there are a lot of things, a lot of options. But if you're running a business and you don't have the time to put into it, then, like I said, there's this industry that's built up around it now. You can outsource everything.
You're listening to Writer's Voices. This is Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Phyllis Kerr, the co-author of Facebook Marketing All-in-One for Dummies, which is a dummies book.
Yes, I'm fond of saying, yes, I'm a dummies writer.
How many dummies books are there? Do you have any idea?
There's dummies books for everything. I mean, honestly, everything. You name it, there's a dummies book.
Just
for
like
it.
There was chicken soup for everything,
right.
But the chickens.
Right.
Now, do you know, dummies book for everyone but the dummies. Do you know how the dummy series got started?
No. I do not. I know a lot about Facebook, but I
don't. I'm thinking that the first dummies books were computer related.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they were,
and
yeah.
I think they were DOS, but I'm not sure
it
about
could have
that.
Been yeah.
yeah
yeah I can almost see that now.
Yeah,
I remember seeing those. Yeah,
yeah. So they've built quite an empire from right. that.
Would you like to hear an interesting thing that I found out as a writer about editors?
Oh yes.
Is it always fun to hear about editors?
Yes, yes it is.
It turns out there's several different kinds of editors for a Wiley book. One is the acquisitions editor, who finds the authors, gets the table of contents, the sample chapters, kind of vets the author. And then they actually go and pitch that to somewhere deeper inside of Wiley. And if the pitch goes well, then they issue a contract and everything starts rolling. Then there's a content editor, which is what you would normally think is your editor.
Right.
And they edit through that. And they might actually have help with that, other people helping them, depending on the book and the deadline. And then there's a technical editor who has to go through every single link and step and click and make sure every single thing works. And that's a tough job. I couldn't do this job. I double check everything I do for links and steps, but the whole book.
Wow.
Like that. And in a dummy's book, almost every page is either a step or a link to someplace. So each one of these, you know, steps has to be followed and figured out. So those are three different kinds of editors at Wiley, and that was new to me as a new writer. I'd never heard of that.
That must take a really long time to do.
Especially for a 700-page book.
No kidding. So speaking of timing, from the time you actually finalized the contract until the book was due, how much time did you have?
Oh, we wrote for 9 months.
Wow. And was this a full-time job for you for those 9 months?
Oh, yes.
Like more than full-time?
Oh, yes. And the weird thing was, and I still can't figure out how this is true, but it basically takes an hour to write a page for a dummy's book. And the reason for that is there's research involved, you have to double-check everything, you have to write it, you have to format it. Oh, here's an interesting thing about Wiley. You don't just write the book and send it to them. You have to actually do a lot of the formatting for them. Mm-hmm. So they have special templates and stuff, special fonts and requirements for this, that, and the other thing. It took a long time to learn that. It was almost like learning a new language or something. It was a different way of writing.
The sidebars and everything.
All of that. And it had to be done a particular way. And some editors kind of got a little upset if you didn't do it the right way. And they would write back, do it this way. So you have to also format the page.
Wow.
So it took a long time to write.
I would think an hour a page would... It'd be more than that.
Well, well, we got a little quicker, too, along the way. But it really, you know, averaged out about an hour a page. And that took a tremendous amount of time. And then, like I said, in January, we had to rewrite everything again. This book originally was supposed to be out in May, by the way. Mm-hmm. So because of the rewrites and because of the delays and all the contracts and changes and everything, it moved all the way to August.
So did the technical editor find any mistakes in your process?
Technical editor was great because, and I don't know if it was a man or a woman, because they always would only put TE for technical editor. And I guess they want that, you know, anonymous
distance,
quality.
Yeah.
But they would say things like, Yes, but, you know, it does. You can do it this way if you wanted to. Or yes, but those laws were changed back in 1962. Or, you know, they were very, very clear about all the technical aspects of everything in the book.
Well, they have to be.
Yes, they have to be because, you know, someone's going to pick this book up and find the first typo or the first
and
step that's wrong.
And it's going to reflect on them, on Wiley, on whether they're going to buy another dummy's book more than they're going to buy another book by Phyllis Kerr.
Yeah.
That's right. I want to show you something else, too. Because this book was about Facebook and because almost every page we either had a case study or we talked about a particular company that did something or we showed an example of something, I'm showing you a 15-page Excel document of every company that we mention in the book.
Oh, my.
So there are all sorts of Facebook pages and people and app developers and stuff that we mention in the book. It's well over 200 that are a part of this book now. And they get this incredible advertising by being represented in a book about Facebook.
Now, are all of these companies that one of the authors had worked with, or is it sometimes just a company that you saw their Facebook page and said, here's how they did it?
Some of that, and everything in the book we did or tested. So if we're talking about App Bistro, which is a wonderful place to find applications for your Facebook page, we went in there and we dug around and we tried out the apps and we worked the system and we tested everything. So everything in there we've tested or checked out or tried or tested. I had over 60 Facebook pages at one point where I was testing different applications and different formulas on.
Wow.
Yeah. It was insane.
Now, back to the acquisitions process. If somebody, you know, do the idea for the book itself, does it usually originate with Wiley and then and they go look for writers, or do writers pitch new ideas for books to them?
I think both happens, but in this case, they were looking for a particular book.
Right.
And they have a trajectory, I think, of all sorts of books, and they know what's next on the horizon, and they're having to think a year in advance of everyone. I'm sure right now someone is starting to write the book Google Plus that just came out 2 days ago. So I'm sure somebody is writing that book right now, because they know in a year it's going to be a big deal, and the book needs to be there at the same time.
They have to keep two steps ahead of developments.
Yes. So would you recommend that, like if a writer wanted to write a book for Wiley's, that they do it on spec, you know, the table of contents, send it in, or try and get some go-ahead to do the table of contents first? Because like other types of books, if you have a you prepare a book proposal and you send it to an editor, and they may never have even thought about this book that you're proposing. Does it work this? Would it work the same way here, or would it be different?
Well, first of all, I would only do that in on a subject that you love and completely know and understand deeply. I wouldn't pitch it in an area you don't know. So if it's an area that you really know about and you've done your research and you've looked at all the dummies titles in that area, you can probably see what's missing or what's coming up or what needs to be revised or something in that line of that idea. And then I would try and contact the authors of the last one in that series and say, hey, are you guys thinking about doing another book in this? If not, would you be interested in introducing me to your acquisitions editor? I would network it instead of going straight to Wiley. And I think that's a little different than what a lot of authors do. I just think that it's better to have the conversation with the people who have already been there or are in that industry and develop a relationship with them and have them introduce you.
Well, for this particular genre, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It varies for, you know, for each
But
thing,
even if but it's like knitting, you know, Knitting for Dummies or cat.
They do non-technical books also?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, you name it. It doesn't have to be anything with technology at all.
So there might be something, an idea of something that they haven't done before at all.
I can't imagine. I've seen those dummies titles. They're it's pretty extensive. But for example, they might not have a radio host for dummies book.
Dancing
that is
for dummies.
True.
And so there you go.
Dancing for Dummies.
And the way you would go about pitching that is you would come to me and say, hey, Phyllis, what do you think about this? I would send an email to my acquisitions editor and say, there's this really great idea about being a radio host by my friend Monica. Would the dummies be interested in this? And there's a different acquisition editor for each subject.
Of course.
So she would say, oh, sure, Joe over in da-da-da might be interested. I'll send you his email address. And then that's how that would happen.
Now, does Wiley work in terms of the financial arrangements? Is there an advance involved? Is it royalty, combination?
It's very traditional in that way, that there is an advance, and it is sent after the contract is signed. The advance, in my case, was actually staggered. They send a little bit to you in the beginning. When 50% of the content has been received, they give you a little more. And then at the end, after they've completely done what's called author review, which is the editing process, then they send you that last little bit.
And is this because you're a new writer?
I think it's because they just want to keep people engaged in the process, because it is pretty rigorous. And I can imagine some people getting at some point and going, forget this.
Yes.
This is too much work.
I've already gotten my advance.
I'm done. You can keep that last little bit. So they have that written into the contract. And there is a percentage on royalties, but honestly, you know, and the three authors, we all had this conversation. We didn't write this book for the royalties, because we did the math, and it was like they would have to sell many boatloads of books for us to make any. Now, someone, you know, like Ellen or other authors that maybe have 10, 15 books, you know, that royalty situation might be, you know,
worthwhile. Yes.
But for this one book, we knew this was not an end all. We needed to use this to go to further our careers.
And how do you go about doing that?
Well, once you've become a Facebook expert, a lot of people want to hear what you have to say. And being a teacher in my background, it's really great. So I've developed some programs where I'm teaching small businesses how to put their business on Facebook. And so I have training programs for that. And the book is the manual for the course. So that way I get, and I buy the book for each participant. So we have book sales, and we use it as the manual. I don't have to recreate any of that content.
Can you buy things at a discount and get more than your royalty would be? Is there any there's no special author price?
Well, yeah, there is a little bit of a discount, but it's mostly just a business discount.
Okay.
Where any business can buy bulk like that.
Yeah.
But so, you know, that way the book is still in circulation and people are buying it. And so that's how I'm personally using it to go the next step. And all and the other two authors are doing other things too. And it's a really a wonderful thing to have an author credit.
So one of them is using it to further like a keynote speaker type of career.
Right. Mm-hmm. Both Amy is an incredible speaker, and she is developing a really large platform around all types of social media, especially Facebook. And so is Andrea. And so they're both doing great things. And Andrea does trainings too.
Now, for the amount of time that it took to do this, and I'm expecting your pay per hour didn't end up being too much.
Yeah, I think we did the math on that one time too, and it was very depressing. Very depressing, especially since I was giving up clients along
exactly,
the way. I couldn't do consulting clients while I was writing this book. My brain was too full. So, you know, now I'm like, hey, remember me? I still have a lot to say. So I'm starting to come back out of that writing cave a little bit, even though I am writing my second book right now with Wiley. It's not as intense for some reason, which is very interesting. But so now I'm starting to have events here in town and in other places where I can do more training and do things that I really love to do with social media.
So you really would have to, if the reason that you want to do a dummies book is, I think for most people, money would have be part of the motivation. You really would have to weigh the loss of income while you're writing with the potential gains in income after the fact.
Right. It's always a math problem.
Yeah.
You have to figure out.
Story problem.
and honestly, the second book, when they pitched the second book for me to write, I hadn't gone through the author review process on the first one yet.
And if I had,
I might have said, I don't think so. But I was very excited to do the second book, and the advance for that was needed at that point. And I thought, well, this is still right up my alley. It's all social media on this one. This one's Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube and a bunch of other ones. So I know the subject. So yes, let's do it. And the second one's kind of interesting because it's called an e-learning kit, which means there's an online component, almost like a classroom where you go in and you take a lesson and you have pre-assessment questions and you have questions at the end. And there is a hard copy book with a DVD. So it's a new format for Wiley, and the book will be one of the first ones out with it. So it's very exciting.
So you will be writing the book itself.
Already written. Now we're going through editing right now.
And the title of this one is?
Social Media Marketing E-Learning Kit for Dummies.
Okay. So you wrote the book. Mm-hmm. Did you write all the lessons as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wrote all the lessons for it.
And did you have to format those too, or?
They're using a particular program to format it, using like a storyboard program, and we start that in the next few weeks. Right now we're still doing editing, the text editing.
Okay, and then the DVD will be, what will be on the DVD?
Well, we'll have to find out, won't we? It's supposed to be out in October, so.
I mean, well, is it going to be like a person teaching on a DVD and screenshots and so forth? And will you be the person?
I don't know if I'll be the voice talent. I would love to be the voice talent, but we'll see what they have in mind. I don't know what they're doing with that yet. Maybe they pay me a little more.
It would be logical that you would be the voice talent because you know the subject matter and you have a good voice and enthusiastic.
But they might have somebody who's doing all of these e-learning kits. I don't know yet.
Oh,
have you written the script for it?
No.
Will you? Or you don't know that yet?
I don't know yet. That it's all a big surprise.
Okay, so when you said we'll find out, I thought you were keeping secrets from me, but
from all of us.
You're listening to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Phyllis Kahr, that's K-H-A-R-E, author of Facebook Marketing All-in-One for Dummies, which is coming out in August, but can be ordered now. And you can also order not just through Amazon, but through your local bookstore as well.
Mm-hmm. And you can go to barnesandnobles.com and order it there. And even borders.com, I think. I'm pretty sure. I know Borders is closing up shop, but I think they still do a little bit online. But I might be wrong.
I think so, but I'm not sure either. Well, Phyllis, let's talk a little bit about what's in this book. You say it's 9 books.
They call them mini books.
9 mini books.
And the way on a book, you'll be able to tell, they have on the edge of the book, you'll see shading for each of the books. So you'll be able to flip to mini book 5 or mini book 7, like that.
And oh, good.
Yeah.
Like a kind of like a dictionary with the little...
Right, exactly.
Yes, with the little tabs. And so book 1 is Joining the Facebook Marketing Revolution.
Right. All 3 of the authors were very clear that we didn't want to jump into designing a Facebook page until people had a chance to think about their marketing plan and why they would be on Facebook in the first place. We wanted people to stop and take a moment, figure it out, design a plan, because honestly, Facebook and all social media can be a big black hole of time suck. So, you have to have that in mind.
That is true. And I read recently in either Fast Company or Inc. that they're really, most companies really aren't able to measure their return on investment from Facebook at this point.
Well, return on investment, ROI in social media in general is a big conversation right now. Yeah. And it depends on what your goal is. If your goal is for brand awareness or if your goal is to just be a place for customer service, a lot of that might not tie directly into ROI. If you are only there to sell a widget at $10 and you have 45,000 fans and you only sell 10 widgets, then you have an ROI. And if you took 40 hours to build your page and you have to pay somebody X amount of money a month to keep it up, then you can develop an ROI. But a lot of times in social media, it's not about the traditional ROI. And so there's a lot of discussion about this online right now.
I think
now.
The example I was reading about was Audi. That is like one of the most followed. They have 2 million followers or whatever. What is it called on Facebook? It's followers on Twitter. On Facebook, it's fans?
It used to be fans. Now Facebook calls them connections.
Okay. And their connections are very connected. They have like the most active group, customer group of almost of any car company, and there's a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. And yet they can't say whether it's actually sold a single car.
And yet you have other companies who can show that they've made millions of dollars because of their social media presence, like Dell and lots of other places. And there are so many case studies on this now. If you just do a little Googling around, you can find a lot of case studies both ways. And you think
so
to yourself...
You just would end up more confused.
Yeah, you think to yourself, well, what about my business? Why would I go on Facebook? And should every company be on Facebook? Should every company have a social media account in all the platforms?
And your answer is?
I like to look at the company first. I have yet to find a company that can't find a place in social media. But you have to look at it. You really have to look at it, because if your customers only want customer service, a portal for customer service. And you have to completely design your Facebook page around that. If you go in trying to give coupons every 2 days instead of answering questions, then you're going to bomb on Facebook. And you're going to say, oh, well, Facebook is not for me. Whereas really you missed the boat and what your customers were looking for.
Well, what would the advantage if it is a customer service portal that you need, what is the advantage of doing that within Facebook?
Because that's where people are. Where do people go now? People, it's so interesting to me. People, they have their job, they have a lunch break, Facebook page views go straight up for lunch, and then they drop back down at 4 o'clock, they go straight back up again because people, that's where they go. When they want to connect with their friends, they want to see what's going on, they want to just absorb some culture, just, you know, in their news
okay,
stream.
Okay, but honestly, if I'm looking for information about a company, I don't think to look at Facebook.
Well, right now, if you go to Google and you type in a question about a company, if they have a Facebook page, it'll be in one of the top spots on the Google page. And if they have a YouTube account, that'll be really, really high too, and a Twitter account, and those will be really high on Google searches. So they know that. The companies know that. That's why they're on those social media accounts, because people will go to Google and look. And if I see that a company has a Facebook page, I go straight there, I go straight to the wall, and I ask my question.
Okay, because that's easier than navigating their
website. Are you kidding? Okay. Most websites are horrible for customer service unless they have a great big 800 number on the top right corner of the page, and most of them don't. They hide it somewhere in between things. But if they have a Facebook page, I pretty much know they have somebody watching it, because companies know they need to be on social media so they can monitor the conversation. So if something gets out of hand, they can be there to take care of it. So I know somebody's there looking at that page. I have found more support in customer service between Facebook and Twitter than I have ever, and quickly like that in many cases, than I could ever get through a website or sitting online in a queue.
See, I never even thought, it never occurred to me to try that.
Oh, you should try it. It's a lot of fun. It's great.
Yeah.
It really works. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. I'm. It sounds like it would. I'm thinking of the last couple times I've, you know, had to contact companies. And, and you know, I did it through their website and it worked out okay. But I could see where if they had it. I didn't even think to look if they had a Facebook page. Now, if a company does have a Facebook page, that means anything that anyone can, like, become connected and
yes,
write something on it.
Anyone
and it
can
shows
like
up on the page.
Anyone can like a business page. You can't restrict that. Okay. As a company, but you can determine what shows up on the wall. A Facebook business page has the option of either showing everything that everybody writes, or only things that the page writes. So I can make a post, and you would be able to comment on the post, but you couldn't start a conversation on the wall.
Okay.
So that's one way that business pages control the conversation. But honestly, if you really want to have a transparent, open business, you would have it open for everyone to be able to post on the wall and be able to deal with any problems that come up. And if you can't deal with problems that come up with your company, then, you know, that's something you need to look at the business.
Okay, but doesn't that give the opportunity for a devious competitor to slam you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do you handle, is that in the book?
Yes,
it is.
Absolutely. And what you can, and as a page administrator, I can delete the post, I can mark it as spam, I can mark it as abusive, and have that person removed from Facebook. So as an administrator, I have a tremendous amount of ability to control the conversation on the page.
But would you necessarily know if it was somebody? I mean, if I were going to try and undermine the competitor, I wouldn't do it in my own name. You know, in my company's name, I'd set up some fake account.
Well, you can do you can you can delete and you can report anybody who does anything on there. You can also set up keywords that Facebook will block for you, and they'll put them in a spam folder, on your page. And people can't see that. Only administrators can go in and see, oh, look at all these things that Facebook has decided is spam. And just like your inbox, you can say, oh, no, that's really not spam, or, oh, yes, this is. And you can adjust words that are blocked on your page. If there's a word you never want written on your page, like if you're Audi and you never want Volkswagen written on your page, you can actually block that word. And anybody who puts in Volkswagen, their post will not show up on the wall.
So that's amazing. That really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
You can also set the profanity level, which I think is hysterical, to be no block, medium, and I think it's extreme or heavy or whatever. And I just think that's a really funny thing. Where? How do they know what's what? But whatever. I don't have people using profanity on my page, so I don't worry about it.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So we have joining the Facebook marketing revolution, where you actually talk about how to decide what you need from your Facebook page.
Right.
Then claiming your presence on Facebook.
This is a book I had to write twice.
Oh, okay.
Now, you have a galley of your book?
A galley meaning...
A pre-copy? I mean...
It's 700 pages, mm-hmm. and they told us they wouldn't be providing galleys for us because it's so humongous.
Okay.
But they are providing, as soon as the book is published, they're sending out copies to people to review, as sort of like a review copy,
right.
but not in advance. Because
I'm just
so
wondering
good.
If you know you're going to read something from your
book.
Oh,
yeah.
I actually have some pages printed out, so I
do
have something.
Oh, well, then let's do that, because we're almost out of time.
Oh, good. Oh, my goodness.
And if you've just tuned in, this is Writer's Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Phyllis Kerr, author of Facebook Marketing All-in-One for Dummies. And she's going to... read from which chapter?
This is actually chapter 2 in book 1. So it's about the marketing plan.
Okay. Oh, so you wrote book 1 and book 2.
I'm not going to tell you which books anymore because you know, the authors, we talk to each other so much that we all feel like we all wrote everything.
Do you think there's any stylistic difference between
the
chapters?
We thought about that too. The editors kind of smoothed that out.
Okay.
So it makes it all sound the same.
Okay.
So here's a little bit from chapter 2 of book 1. Facebook has changed the game of marketing for everyone. In the past, people interested in your products or services would read a brochure, visit your brick-and-mortar shop, or maybe watch a commercial to find out about information they needed before making a buying decision. Today, people go to Google or search popular social networks for answers to their questions instead. That's why you need an online presence in real time to answer their questions when they seek you out. After all, if you make customers wait, they can be knocking on your competitor's virtual door with a click of a button. With that in mind, it's essential that you create a solid, well-thought-out Facebook marketing plan that defines your goals and maps your online strategies. With close to a billion members, active users as of this writing, more likely than not, your brand will find an audience on Facebook. The key here is finding out where they are and what they do while inside this thriving social network.
Oh, very good. How about, do you have another section you'd like to read?
Sure.
Okay.
How about...
So as you're looking for that, I'm going to mention some of the other chapter or books. We have book 3, Adding the Basics to Your Facebook Page. So this would be very much a how-to chapter. I think book 1 is kind of the why to chapter. And most of the rest looks like pretty much a how to. Book 4, Building, Engaging, Retaining, and Selling to Your Community.
Which is actually my favorite chapter because it shows you how to move your commerce onto Facebook.
Ah.
So people can buy your products and services right there on Facebook without having to leave the environment.
And is this a pretty recent thing? Because I haven't bought anything on Facebook.
Well, you should go buy something.
Yeah.
No, this has been around for a long time. There, and Etsy, by the way, has a really nice application for their crafters that integrates with a Facebook page and makes a nice little grid of their products, and you can just buy it right there. It's very nice.
And understanding Facebook applications, I'm assuming that would be in that chapter. Mm-hmm. About the Etsy, for people who aren't familiar with it, is a website for kind of people who make things by hand.
Right, crafters. It has to be original by hand,
Book 6, Making Facebook Come Alive with Events and Contests. That sounded...
That sounded good.
Interesting.
Interesting.
And Book 7, Advanced Facebook Marketing Tactics. Book 8, Facebook Advertising. And then 9, Measuring, Monitoring, and Analyzing. So this is
Analytics. Most people don't know that if you have a Facebook business page, you can go in and you can see where people are finding your page, where your referrers are coming from, how many times they've clicked it, liked it, what time of day they like it. You can find out so much about if they're a female or male, what their age is. So you can see your demographics. You can see the most clicked on and liked posts that you have. It's an amazing analytics program that people have.
Would you say that Facebook would be a good way to conduct market research?
Oh, absolutely. And I know a lot of businesses, that's what they have the Facebook page for, period. They put things up and they say, what do you think about this new design?
Yeah.
Or Threadless, you know, vote on your favorite shirt. You know, all sorts of businesses use Facebook because they know people want to give their opinion. Everybody feels their opinion is valuable and they'll be happy to tell you.
All right. What section are you going to read from?
This is just a little bit, again, in mini book one. People want to know you, not your brand. And so even if you do move your business on Facebook, you really want to keep it personal because you don't want to come across as too corporate, because this is often seen as inauthentic on social networking sites. Talk to your Facebook community as though they're your friends, not potential clients or customers. The more real you come across on Facebook, the more your fans will want to engage with you in your business. And I think that's really the crux of all social media, is you need to be giving and sharing and not pushing when you're trying to market your business. It should be all about the attraction-based business model instead of pushing and pushing and pushing.
So this is a big change, really, from traditional advertising.
Huge. It's a completely different business model to go from push to pull-based marketing. It's a big conversation everywhere right now. And if your company right now is only doing push-type marketing, you're out of line with what most people are expecting and wanting from businesses right now.
Uh-huh.
Is it tricky, though, to be personal? I mean, how can GE be personal? You know, it's like without it being put on and fake.
Well, you have to find the right administrator for your Facebook page, for sure. You have to have someone who is authentic and loves to socialize and loves to have conversations with people, and have that person as your administrator. You can't have some head of some corporate division try and be friendly if that's not their nature.
Okay.
So you have to find the right person.
Okay. So it really is the face of your Facebook page would be an individual in a sense.
Not the profile image,
no.
But definitely in the voicing and the conversation should be human as possible.
No automatically generated content.
Right. And there is a lot of automatically generated content on a lot of parts of Facebook. And Facebook actually penalizes you for that.
How? And what's the penalty? Do you get sent to your room?
For example, there is an application. There is an application that takes any blog post and automatically places it on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people use a particular one. It's called Network Blogs. And what Facebook started doing is every business that used it, they would collapse them into one link on your news stream that just said, and 60 more network blog links. And yours might be number 47 in there, and no one would see it as they would stream right by the link. So they collapse Twitter automatic posts. They collapse social RSS, which is another automatic system. They started collapsing all those automatically posting programs, which basically penalizes a business for using them.
Oh, so how do you get around that?
You have to manually post things on your page.
Oh,
Yes, it makes it again
more time consuming
and more human too.
Well, that is true. It is.
Yeah, right.
It is more human.
Well, you know, to read, because I don't do computer, so you know,
word processing.
I'm a dinosaur. So to read through this, you know, I don't understand some of the things, but the way that you write, see. I think I could do it.
Dummies books are known for their conversational tone and their step-by-step instructions so that anybody can get through it and understand it.
Yeah.
Everything is explained. They're real clear in their formatting. If you introduce a new vocabulary word, you have to explain it right there. Everything is very clear in a dummies book. So, yeah, you could do it.
How do you avoid doing that without writing down to people?
It's a trick, and I think the dummy
voice,
it is an art, and I think there's an interesting voice that a dummy's book has where they're conversational, and they throw in these funny jokes every now and again to sort of make you realize that, yeah, we're all in this together.
Did you read a lot of dummy's books before you started writing yours?
I've read my share of dummy's books,
yeah.
And they sent us a few to kind of, you know.
Use as guidelines.
Yeah.
And when the content editor got in there, how was it dealing with, I mean, did they want to change things that you didn't want changed? And how was that?
Of course they did.
Yeah.
We'd have to have another hour talking about the editorial process.
Well, maybe we'll just have to do that after the book comes out.
That'd be
so
great.
We just have about 50 seconds. I want to ask Phyllis, what's next for you as a writer?
Well, as a writer, I want to continue writing. I've just been offered a writing job, not job, but being a guest blogger for one of the top social media blogs in the country, and that's very exciting. So
can
I want to
name what it is?
No, not right now, but I'm very excited about it, and I'll spread the word through social media
when
the time comes. So I write for iPhone Life magazine. I have a social media report for them. And I'll like to continue writing that. So I like the writing aspect, but I also like the training aspect. And so next Wednesday, I'm going to have people in my house, and I'm going to tell them all these wonderful things they can do using social media to open new doors for marketing. And it's a very exciting event, and it's for small businesses here in town, and I'm very excited about it.
And call Phyllis at?
You can call me at 561-628 8896, or look me up on Facebook.
To register.
Right.
All right, thanks. So, Mom, you've got some parting words for us today?
I do. It isn't exactly fit in here, but sort of does. There is only one thing people like that is good for them, a good night's sleep.
See you next week on Writer's Voices.
Writer's Voices is hosted, produced, and engineered by Monica Hadley, Caroline Kilborn, Cheryl Fusco-Johnson, and Corey Hickenbottom. Archives are available at KRUUFM.com and writersvoices.com. Writer's Voices is a production of KRUULP 100.1 FM, broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield, Iowa.